get the fantasy advice you need on your morning commute with the Roto Experts in the Morning.
Corey, what's up with you, man?
What's the deal, Greg? What's going on? I obviously had the big showdown last night, you know what I'm saying? So got a couple thoughts on that. I guess we'll get to that at some point throughout the course of the day. And that kind of took over my whole evening, you know what I mean? So I didn't get to watch no basketball, no nothing like that. I just was kind of in the zone. Then, of course, the FSTA contacted me. They wanted, you know, my cheat sheets and stuff like that for the Hall of Fame. You know what I mean? Because for that groundbreaking effort I put together last night.
You know what's interesting? We can certainly start there because everybody knows the fantasy executive Corey Parson as, you know, this bombastic character.
Yes.
We can call him, right?
Character.
Right. Put my cheat sheets in the Hall of Fame, right? Yeah. Ronis, you're going to die, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Like that's, I'm not going to kill him. No, I'm not going to kill him.
I don't know. That's not what you said yesterday.
No.
But anyway, this is what you talked about. And quite often, you act like that, right?
I talk big trash.
You talk big trash.
I try to, you know, I'm not going to be intimidated by the competition. I'm not going to be a guy that, you know, is not talkative about it. I'm going to talk about it. You
right.
Feel what I'm saying?
Right. So all of a sudden, we have spoken many a times about, you know, tout wars and labor and FSTA and all these things that, you know, really, the common player, they don't know what that is.
Yeah.
In all honesty, I know Matty was saying just before the show started, like, he's excited for next weekend, but, like, he doesn't want it to come because then it's all over and whatnot. And I'm sitting here like, you know, I'm not really in it, so, like, I'm kind of just looking forward to March Madness, right? So that's, and I'm working on a March Madness guest for next week, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Good one?
I like to think so. I'll tell you during the break who I'm working on.
You know, it's a guy in our industry that does March Madness, too.
Is his name Greg Sussman?
Then it's two.
Oh. Okay.
It's two.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who else does March Madness?
Brad Evans.
Oh yeah, I like Brad Evans.
Mm-hmm. He's a March Madness guy.
He is a March Madness guy. But I'll tell you during the break. Anyway, so I'm sitting downstairs and I'm putting the show together yesterday, doing some work, and all of a sudden, like, Corey Parson comes walking in our office,
yeah.
and he's pacing back and forth. I'm like, dude, like, what's going on? He's like, I don't know what I'm gonna do. I'm like, what do you mean what I'm gonna do? I got this draft tonight. I'm like, yeah? So, like, you'll do the draft. Like, I don't want to embarrass myself. Like, this is a really big spot. I'm like, Corey, like, we have joked about this literally for years. Like, you're going to get in there. You're going to wreck the room. You're going to do all these things. We have talked about this literally for years. So you're going to go in there and draft. I don't want to make a fool of myself. And I'm like, Corey, what in the hell has happened to you? Where are you? And he's like, no, this is for real. They're out to get me. I'm like, wait, where is the Corey Parson that I've hosted with my entire life here?
Yeah.
Like, what is going on? This was a side of you, Corey, I have never seen before.
I think you have, naturally, you have draft day jitters and stuff like that. You know what I mean? But with the lightning speed that everything happened yesterday, you know, I'll be honest, it was a lot of, you know, dissension in the room. It was a lot of, I got a lot of messages. I got a lot of phone calls. A lot of people was tweeting at me. Got a lot of texts. You know what I mean? You know, for the most part, I was having people telling me to drop out, not to do it, not to participate. You know what I mean? Because this is a baseball thing. This is the older guard, you know, whatever that part of it is. You know what I'm saying? You know, they were like, you know, that I was in more or less. One person told me that I was in a no-win situation here. So, obviously, had some other people in the draft and from around the industry that were critical and, what's the word I'm looking at? They were critical and vocal about me being in it, you know what I mean? So, that right there had me off my game a little bit.
Who cares? Why? Since when does Corey Parson care about the critics?
I understand.
You told
what
me many times you don't care about these things.
But this right here, listen, I understand, like, I've been one of the people that have spoke about tout wars and these expert drafts. On a lot as, you know, yeah. What, this is a clown show. You
correct.
Know what I'm saying?
You
this
have.
Is a clown, this is a clown
so many
show.
Times.
This is a clown show. But once you're in the fold, when you're on the other side and you see the amount of feedback it's getting just from you being in there alone, it's kind of like, okay, wait a minute, all the lights are on. Now it's time for the fantasy executive to step up. So throughout the course of the day, you know, this is new. You know, I come in this. All I really know is what pick I have. And I know the rules, and I'm like, that's it, that's all you got. I wish I had a little bit more time to prepare. But as I started, as I left and I got uptown, and you know what I'm saying, and my feet touched the Harlem streets, you know what I'm saying, and I realized I had a lot of people that was depending on me and wanted me to represent and stuff like that, I started to settle in.
Well, I think Corey was in a New York state of mind. I'm actually very impressed with the team he put together. I think it was a great effort. He had a solid 1-2-3 start, and then he backed it up with Chris Archer in the fourth. I mean, I don't see anything wrong with that.
Yeah, you know, the beginning was, you know, obviously this is something that was being broadcast, Greg, so it wasn't like the 8 o'clock comes, 8 p.m. Eastern last night comes, and, you know, the clock goes off and you start drafting. There's pauses for the broadcast and stuff like that. Obviously, I had the broadcast on. I was checking it out as it was going along. And when the broadcasters are talking, obviously, you're doing your own thing. But you want to hear what they say. And if they're critical of your team, you know, it kind of makes you think, okay, well, all right, wait a minute. What's going wrong here? Why are they being critical? So the broadcasters last night, Glenn Colton and Howard Bender and
Rick Wolf, probably.
Nah, not Rick Wolf. Rick was Rick was on vacation.
Jeff Erickson.
So the first comment that was made, I had the 13th pick in this snake draft, whatever, OBP instead of batting averages, you know, the major piece out there. And I want to talk about that also, how you maneuver through that. I took Anthony Rizzo at 13 overall, and Tim McCullough took Miguel Cabrera, and almost immediately it was like, that was a mistake. Miguel Cabrera should have been the pick there, not Anthony Rizzo.
See, I think the opposite, Corey. I think if it was an average league,
yeah,
I'm definitely going Miguel Cabrera. But Anthony Rizzo has three straight seasons of a 380 OBP and 30 plus home runs. So, and he's in a great lineup too. I mean, I love Cabrera. Like I said, normally if this was average, I'm going Cabrera first. But I have no problem with Anthony Rizzo.
So I went Rizzo, and the immediate plan was to, on the wrap, either get Miguel Cabrera or Freddie Freeman. And both those players went. I made the Charlie
Black. Or probably Eddie. You love Eddie.
I love Eddie, but I figured Eddie wasn't going to be there.
So you ordered three guys. Theoretically, you ordered three guys for, you know, five spots away. Odds are pretty good.
Yeah, no doubt. And it really didn't land that way. So that was like the first curveball right there. And, you know, the announcers, like I said, were critical of that. So then at that point of it, that's when I was like, okay, well, these are still good players. So a little bit of criticism to start. And then I was working off my draft app. Slow drafts, fine. Mock drafts, fine. When you're hot, I'm talking about, I put in the first 20 or so picks. And I was like, this is out the window now,
told
bro.
You, I told
pen
you.
And paper. Here
I
we
told
go.
You this. Pen and paper. I literally told you. Off, I you sat right saying? Here. You sat right there. And I said, I you don't
get
have
it.
Time.
I get it. Because it's the action is hot and heavy. You're listening to the broadcast. You feel some kind of way. Adrenaline is pumping. And I was like, screw this app. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Screw this app. Give me a cheat sheet. Give me a pen. And we're going to go old school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to go old school. And like, yeah. Like the live drafts, I tried a computer once in Vegas 2 years ago. And it was honestly, I screwed something up. And everything was horrible. Probably the worst draft I ever had.
Really? That bad, huh?
Yeah, I don't like it. I have to. I have everything set up, pen, paper, all that old school stuff. For me, that works. I know some people have certain apps that work for them, and that's fine. If you're comfortable with it, you know, if you got a computer doing half the stuff, maybe that's better. But for me, it doesn't work.
I think it's slow draft. I don't mind experimenting with it. Slow draft. I think it's good for the slow draft. But in this live atmosphere like this, and I'm talking about, you know how it's 60 seconds between picks, and for the most part, you got a lot of people that are draining the clock all the way down. The action was hot and heavy. I mean, I'm on the turn, basically, in a 15-team league, and every time I looked up, my pick was coming back. Matter of fact, the draft was only like 3 hours and change.
That's great.
I thought it was going to be a four-hour bonanza.
That's great. That's great, man. Did you pick anybody that you never heard of before?
Did I do it? Did I pick anybody? No, I didn't do that.
Just asking.
Why would I pick somebody I never heard of before, Greg? we've been doing this for a while now.
I understand. It seems like something I worth asking. I actually picked a Met. You said you weren't going to pick any of those.
Yeah, actually.
You specifically yesterday on the program, I asked you about this. And you said, you know, you're in on the pitching, like if the right spot takes on the pitching, but you ain't taking no Met hitters because they suck, is what you said to me.
Yeah.
Direct quote.
Yeah, I did say that. But Lucas Duda in the, I believe that was the 20th round I got Lucas Duda. I'll take that. You feel what I'm saying?
No, I don't feel what you're
you
saying.
You don't like the Lucas Duda pick because I said.
Yeah, you lied to me. We're friends.
I wanted Chris Carter there.
Nah, that makes sense. He's a Yankee. We're talking about the Yankees today.
I also, another situation where I was sniped on a turn, I was looking at Carter there, and I was looking at Francisco Cervelli there. I tell you a Met that I wish I did get, and I was trying to time it and pick it right. He went in the 20th round also. Right after I picked Lucas Duda, Robert, what's it called?
Robert Gzelman.
Robert Gzelman went. And I know that's a guy that you're in on, Matt. And I thought I would be able to get him on the wrap coming back the next round. But obviously, these are guys that are on top of things. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah, Robert Gzelman is moving up in the world right now. So.
Yeah, so there you go right there.
It's interesting. People all love Robert Gzelman, but like he might not even win the job. Like Seth Lugo could still win that job.
Roto Experts in the Morning, weekdays from 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern, only on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Follow all the great programming on Twitter at FNTSY Radio and like us on Facebook.